Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, always wearing day team. Como yeah. Usted ya es un win, the trio Fabi singing muchachos. Las familias se escuchan los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor.
Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to another live edition of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley here with my incredible co-host, Gian. How are we doing on this fine Monday?
Doing great on this fine Monday. I can't even pronounce fine. I almost said fine Monday. I'm doing good. Excited to talk more into Miami. Excited to talk with everybody in chat. Excited to talk to you, Ash. And I'm doing great.
I'm glad. Speaking of, we already have a couple chats coming in. Everyone's excited. What's up, Ash? From one Ash to another. Good evening, Nick. Aloha. What's going on, Daniel? Happy Monday. Hey, everyone. We have the vibes are high already. We have a lot to talk about since we did our show last week. And again, the show, similar to last week, it's going to be driven by the comments and what you guys want to talk about, because there is a lot to talk about. I think we obviously can provide a bit of a framework. Oh, Gian, you're looking like kind of snatched. Your skin looks good.
Really? Oh, I don't know. I'm wondering, did I put an extra light today in the room? It must be that. I'm trying to mimic the lighting that they put in the barbershop. It's like you go to the barbershop, they give you a fresh cut. That lighting makes you look so good. And then you get home, you're like, what happened?
I feel that. They do that in salons too.
I swear, you're like feeling yourself like disgustingly. You're like taking pictures at the barbershop and you get home and you look at yourself in the bathroom at home. You're like, oh, what happened to like me 10 seconds ago? It's just so...
But yeah, well, anyway, you look good. So love it. Yeah, I dyed my hair and cut it. Just saying.
Looking fabulous as well. Looking great. Looking fabulous, you. Ash.
You can know like how long I've been doing Messi & Co. by how many different hair colors I've had. Honestly, like that could be a good test. Like I was thinking about that yesterday. I'm like, God, I've had like 5 different hair colors on the show. But
you have pink too, that one, I believe.
I mean, I really like to do red and different shades of red. But it's very difficult to maintain. Anyway, we're probably spending too much time talking about this. But if you guys want me to talk more about what goes into dyeing my hair and my decision making, I'll let you know. I will give everybody a fun fact before we talk about Messi and Inter Miami, which is, do you know what my natural hair color is?
Your natural hair color? Jeez, have I ever seen your natural hair color?
No.
Jeez, I'm going to go with a blonde, dirty blonde.
I'm actually naturally blonde, pure blonde.
Wait, you're lying. You're such a liar. Ain't no way.
I swear.
Dude, I've never seen
you. Well, up until I was 15 and I started dyeing my hair myself, I was blonde. You've met my mom. You can tell the listeners, what does my mom look like?
Yeah, your mom doesn't look like you. I never wanted to say
anything. I used to look like my mom.
I didn't know the dynamic there. I didn't know if you know something. So I didn't want to say anything, but now it all makes sense. You guys are family. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, I used to have the same color hair as my mom. I was blonde. But anyway, well, Mem got it. Mem, but
wait,
you said blonde.
Wait, how about this?
Is my mom? Is she watching?
if we win MLS Cup, you leave it blonde for at least a month. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes, I would.
Okay, all right.
Logistically, I'd have to dye it blonde because it would take a long time for it to go back naturally because I've been dyeing it for so many years.
Oh, damn. But I forget how that works.
I will. Like, it's not like a guy where it just grows out after and you're like, oh, that's all. You were blonde for a few months. No, but if we win the MLS Cup, I'll go blonde. Promise.
Okay. So, but that means you have to dye it back. Okay. Yes.
I have to dye it, but still.
You know how long it took me to realize that that's how it works? I feel like an idiot. Like for many years, I thought that it's like your hair grew from the tips. So, and then I realized I probably shouldn't say that actually. Never mind. I never said that. don't want anybody to think I'm an idiot.
No,
just scratch that.
You're just a man, which is okay. And honestly, that's so fine. Okay. All right. We have over 140 people watching. We got to change topics. But if you want an episode on this, let me know. And I'd love to do a Q&A about my hair. Okay. Let's talk about the match Saturday. Inter Miami win 4-0 against Atlanta. A couple huge storylines from that match, right? Since we've spoken last. The first one I'm going to talk about is obviously what we have to talk about, which is Lionel Messi. And there's a lot to talk about with him. Firstly, he was training all week with the Argentina national team. But we had a feeling this may happen, but it is out of character because we know throughout his career and you know, in general, he has such pride for his national team and has chosen Argentina in a lot of situations if it's one versus the other. However, Friday, the day before the game, it was announced that he was released from the camp and was going to go play. And the reason why he played is, well, it's all speculative. A couple things. One, to be with his friends who are playing in their final games. And we're going to talk about Jordi Alba in a little bit. But before we do, that's one reason. Another reason, Inter Miami are going for that second seed. And, you know, obviously it's not fully in their control, but every point matters. And then, in my opinion, most importantly, is I want him to win the Golden Boot. And maybe he also wants to win the Golden Boot. And in that match, he gets a brace, scores two more goals, and is now the clear front runner to win the Golden Boot. So of all of those things, where do you want to start?
Geez, I guess I would say let's start with Argentina and him being with Argentina and then coming back to play. That would obviously lead into the game where he was able to score. So I think that obviously any time that he has the ability to be with Argentina, he's always going to choose that, I think, over everything. We've seen that in the past, even last season where he was going away for games. And luckily, Inter Miami was able to get through that. They actually went through a really good streak when he was gone and they were able to continue winning. So I think that wasn't a surprise. I wonder if Argentina played somewhere else, would that have been the case where he would have still... I wonder how that would have played out, if it would have played out a little bit differently, you know. Yeah. Luckily, they played here in Miami. They played at, I believe it was at Hard Rock Stadium. Didn't they play the first game, I think, there? And then the next one, they're going to play at Chase Stadium. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That stadium was kind of like empty-ish. I think there was only about 20,000 people in a stadium that sits around 60-something thousand. So a lot of people were joking, saying that Messi with Inter Miami pulls more of an audience than Messi with Argentina with the World Cup winners, which is kind of weird to think about.
It is weird. But I will say Chase Stadium, and whether it was because it was the last regular season home game at Chase Stadium, I don't know, but it was packed and the energy was awesome.
Yeah. But so he ended up, I think, you know, just being with the national team and he was able to spend time with them. I don't think De Paul played either. But
I think he came in. He subbed in De Paul at the end.
Did he sub in?
Yeah.
He only got a few minutes, though, didn't he? Maybe like 15, 20 minutes or something like that. He didn't play much. But what was good is I think that Messi never had the intention to play that game, really. He just wanted to be there for his teammates. And then I'm pretty sure it was probably pre-planned for him to actually be able to play with Inter Miami, knowing that Inter Miami, despite them not having the ability to secure the supporter shield anymore, that they still have the ability to move up spots, which is going to help them in seeding and all that sort of thing. There were two more games left at that point.
Friends are retiring, so I think a lot of factors probably went into it. And I will say, we mentioned this on the show last when we knew he was going to Argentina for some period at least. I said this could be really good for his morale, because the team has had its ups and downs. They had to play 7 matches in 22 days. It was a lot. And he got to go, take a break, be with his friends. He didn't leave South Florida. He kept training. And I think we saw, in my opinion, and again, a lot of circumstances to think about in the game. I saw a refreshed, excited Messi who it was everyone's job on that field to try and get him as many goals as possible. They were doing everything. He was doing everything. And then in the end, his first goal was an absolute golazo. Curler from just inside the box, or I think just outside the box, and his link up play. He did these great pat balls to Suarez. Lionel Messi is again, we've said this many times, he's still one of the best players in the world, and in the end, the energy I saw from him and his teammates gave me a good feeling, and hopefully they continue this moving forward into what is, you know, now it's really go time. It's actually going to be blonde time, and that's what we're going to call it for now on. But I just, yeah, his performance was really spectacular.
Yeah. Again, it worked out that he was still here in Miami. He was able to play. And as you said, I think that probably played a big part as well of him wanting to play and be in that game so that he can support Jordi Alba, who was celebrating his last regular season game here in Miami. And that was a big thing for him. He would even give some words or share some words on congratulating him on a great career as he played a video for him at Chase Stadium. And the goals that he continues to score, he now has 24 goals on the season. He's two above Jonas Boanga, both tied at 33 games. So he looks like he's right there about to secure the golden boot. And the way that he links up with Jordi Alba, I think is still just so incredible.
Jordi Alba, another amazing performance.
He's insane. Like, if anybody looked at Jordi Alba's announcement of retiring and said and thought to themselves maybe that it wasn't a big deal for Inter Miami, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal for Inter Miami, not only because of his presence in the defense, which we know that the defense hasn't been the best, but you have a guy of that caliber that can have a presence and can help lead. You have leadership in that back line, but you basically have another forward in Jordi Alba. And that's something that we know with Suarez not making the runs into space like he used to, with a Tadeu Allende that sometimes maybe isn't as clinical in finishing. Despite that, you know you can always count on Jordi Alba. When he gets into space, he's able to finish. And he's one of the few on this team, other than Busquets possibly, that can link up with a Messi that runs into space. That's sorely going to be missed. And you got the top two guys that can link up with Messi retiring this season. So I think it's going to be a big impact on Inter Miami. We'll have to see how they respond, who they bring in, and that sort of thing.
Well, and that's something we're going to get to also, because we have to talk about who they are saying, where a lot of sources have said, and that had died down for a while, but that's me giving a little teaser for what's to come. So over 200 people watching, we're going to hold off on that, and I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you what, his name starts with an N, put it that way. But I think you just mentioned it there, Jordi Alba. When we spoke last week, we said, the rumors about Sergio Reguilon from Tottenham were like, why would we need a left back? Jordi Alba just signed an extension and he's playing at this insane level. Like, that's crazy. And then we find out that he has decided to retire midweek with an announcement that I think surprised everybody. He obviously, it's clearly not ability, because like we said, he's not just now, but I was even listening to the broadcast on the way home Saturday. Last year, he was in the best 11 in MLS, right, as the left back and had great goal contributions in play. This year, his statistics are better than last year. And I mean, you know, the goals he scored and the play he's made and having to your point, kind of recently almost take up that, like, left winger spot in a sense, and he's amazing, and he's cited that he wants to be there with his family. He has young kids. He's won practically everything you can win in football, and he wants to stop. It surprises, I think, all of us, like we said, because with Sergio Busquets, I mean, like we said, he still could play at a very high level, but you can understand the miles he's run, and so has Jordi, but Sergio, if they just seem different, you know. I think Jordi Alba is a little younger than Sergio Busquets, and like we said, has such a motor and is so fit that it's like, knowing Messi's there, why would you do that? But he is, and so only few matches left.
I think with Jordi, there's a few things going on. One, obviously, supposedly it's personal reasons, and he's got a club project that he has back in Spain that he's paying a lot of attention to, kind of like the one that Messi and Suarez have going on in South America, right? So apparently that's taken up a lot of his time. That's something that he wants to dedicate time to. He's obviously won it all. I don't know if an MLS Cup and not winning that is going to hold him, you know, and he's out. I'm not retiring until I win an MLS Cup. I don't think he's there. Obviously, he decided to retire. But I almost wonder how much of it really is the fact that he has a project in Spain, and how much is it the actual organization, and maybe him seeing that there are things that are going on that are maybe not the best for a club. I guess what I'm trying to say is the management, the way this club has been managed, the players that they've brought in, the coaches that they've brought in, for a project that would be considered a serious project, a win now project, a project that has guys like Jordi, Busquets, Suarez, Messi, De Paul now. I don't know if all the decisions have been the best. It seems like it's not. I feel like many probably share the same opinion. I wonder how much of that played into Jordi's decision after having agreed to an extension. I believe it was in May, if I'm not mistaken.
Agreed to an extension until 2027.
Yeah, and then him maybe finally coming to the realization, I don't know if I want to do this for another 2 years, the way this team has been run and the hardships that they've gone through, the ups and downs and all of that stuff. So it's just something to think about. I'm not reporting anything here saying that I've heard anything in regards to that, but it makes you wonder how much of that. It's such a strange and unique scenario because it's not like Busquets that just, you know, ever decided to renew. He literally agreed to 2 more years and then out of nowhere decided not to. So it's something to think about.
Fair point. And I mean, look, hindsight will tell us if that is or isn't the case. I do think part of it really could just be that he wants to be with his young family. Maybe he wants, you know, he had gotten a couple muscle injuries, even though he's been, you know, super consistent. I think probably the whole Inter Miami thing is part of it. And when Busquets retired, maybe he's like, oh, you know, maybe I can do the same. You know, I think it was, it could be kind of like that domino effect. But I will say this about Jordi Alba, we'll find out. But he has been, and just like Sergio Busquets, really, even in a short period of time, a great servant for the club, has kept his enormously high standard of being a left back defensively and on the attack, and has produced in almost every match he's been in some way or another, always giving 100%, always competitive as it comes, and he will definitely be missed, but we at least have him.
He's tied right now for the 5th most assists in the entirety of MLS and has the most assists of any defender in MLS.
Like, 2.5 years.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible how good of a season he's had. And
comment. Maybe Jordi stopped having fun. I mean, maybe that's alluding to what you said, where like we know that Inter Miami, we have questions about a lot of decisions being made. So maybe they feel the same way. Maybe it was weird having your friend, colleague as your coach. I mean, we've heard that angle from a lot of people. Hindsight's 2020. I don't know if that information will ever come out, if we're only going to be able to speculate, but what we can say is that we will miss him, and it makes the signing of someone like a Rodrigo de Paul, who did not play Saturday and you know has gotten his fair share of criticism already so far as an Inter Miami DP player, it makes, to me, it shows more light of like how important that signing can be next season, even for the rest of this season, knowing what they know, you know, what we know now, that Messi was losing Busquets and Jordi Alba in the offseason in order to keep the high level of play on the field and, to be frank, Messi's friend and keep people to keep him there. You had to get someone like a Rodrigo de Paul. I want to show a comment from Honest Review Without Money saying, we do not need de Paul after the game with Atlanta. First clean sheet of the season. Did anyone miss de Paul? Here's what I'll say. I think, one, we can say a couple things are true at the same time, and then you tell me what you think, Gian. One, it's true that so far, overall, Rodrigo de Paul's performances hasn't been what we had hoped for in these last 2 months, right? At the level that we were hoping to see right off the bat, for what he's worth. That's true. What also is true is that, and we'll see it hopefully with the Messi extension and next year without Busquets and Alba, him being on the team can still be a huge, big positive thing for Inter Miami. And keeping the longevity of Messi playing at this high level, having a good, intense, young, quote-unquote, in his prime player in Rodrigo de Paul, who is going to keep growing the team and the club, and hopefully performance to step up. And I would also say is true that last week in the game versus New England, he was phenomenal. He was amazing. And I'm like, if we could see this player every week, it's totally worth it. And then the final thing I'll say that is true is that this Atlanta game, you're playing against an Atlanta team that, like, I think 8 of its 11 starters didn't play. They are, like, last in the division. They had an awful year, tons of injuries, bad coaching, bad play. All those things are true. And so whether or not Rodrigo de Paul was missed, I think I wouldn't use that match against Atlanta as, like, your sample size. I think you would need to see it in more competitive, intense, important matches, you know, to be able to conclude that. So I'll just say all of those things, that many things can be true and you can still be upset about how DePaul is playing.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider the Atlanta game necessarily a litmus test for whether you need DePaul or not. So it's true. They were missing about half of their squad. So, but I am one of the ones that have been very critical of DePaul. I'm not one that thinks that maybe he has come in and been absolute trash by any means, but I don't think that he's lived up to what you've expected of a player of his caliber, a World Cup winner, a player from a top three team in La Liga. And I think that especially a guy that's going to take up a designated player spot for you next season and whom you're going to invest $17 million to acquire his pass, you're going to require more than that. And if you get the bull that you have had so far this season, next season, that is probably really bad business by Inter Miami. And I mean, at the end of the day, a big part of the reason why he's here is because Messi wants him to be here. But I think at a DP spot level, you expect a certain type of performance, a certain type of level on the field of play. So I'm hoping it gets to that point. You're going to need it going into the playoffs as well. We saw mm-hmm. that last season, Inter Miami went in and we thought they were, you know, going to just roll on through and they were outed pretty quickly. So you're going to need a DePaul that looks more like the DePaul that plays in Argentina than the DePaul that we've seen until now, really. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel about DePaul. And I wanted to, before we went on to the next thing, Ash, I wanted to bring up something really quick.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, now that we have Busquets retiring, Jordi Alba retiring, this is the end of this era of the Barca boys. Mm-hmm. It was short-lived, obviously. And I'm just curious what you guys...
It was a success and chat failure.
Think and what yeah. you think, Ash, because I'll be very blunt. And like we say in Spanish, no tengo pelos en la lengua. Like I don't hide things and I'll say it straight. To me, if they don't win the MLS Cup, it was a failure. It was an utter and complete failure from a sporting perspective. Yeah, they made a ton of money from a business perspective. They got everything they wanted. The amount of money, the valuation of this club, the branding, the visibility, it was all there. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to tell me that a League's Cup and the recognition for winning the most, getting the most points and being the most consistent is anything remotely close to saying that you were successful with four of the best players to ever play the game and the best player to ever play the game. It's just, it would be, I think, it's just not something that I can say that it was a success. I think that this is the last chance that they have to say that they found some success with these guys. If not, it was an utter failure in my eyes.
So I agree a lot with the fact that if they win the MLS Cup, it drastically changes how you look back at it. Because you look back, if they win, you say, okay, they win two trophies in three seasons, going from being the team that was 15th to the team that, you know, wins the MLS Cup. They, you know, makes it to the round of 16 in Champions Cup, or excuse me, in the Club World Cup against, you know, Porto and teams of, you know, crazy caliber. The growth they've made is great. New stadium, all those things. I think if they win the MLS Cup, you can have all those conversations and you can be like, oh, you know, Suarez dipped more than we expected, X, Y, and Z. Messi was hurt last year for half the season, had a terrible injury in the final of Copa, things that are out of your control, et cetera, right? Like if they win, I think you can make those arguments and we move into Messi 2.0 era of Inter Miami and being like, I hope they make a couple better decisions in the back office, but we still have Messi playing for at least another year and a half at a crazy high level. We now have DePaul. I'm excited to see how much farther can we go, right? Like I think that is, to your point, that can happen if they win. If they don't win, I have to agree with you that it's a failure, especially in what we've seen this season. I think last season, again, like I said, Suarez was super up and down, but he still got a good amount of goals. And then the Messi injury. I mean, Messi was injured for over half of the season. You can't predict that if you're the Miami front office after a player who's rarely had injuries in his whole career. You just can't. You did know that Copa America was going to be in the middle, and that is a big, you know, that was always going to be the priority. No?
Wait, but you're saying last season, right? Just to make last sure.
Last
season they won Supporters Shield.
But they didn't win the MLS Cup. They didn't win the Champions Cup, etc.
But wasn't Messi healthy going into MLS Cup?
But he didn't play for six. He hadn't played for the 4 months before it. I think there was factors that went into that one where it was like the team failed, and that's why Tata Martino was fired, because they failed in the playoff and they didn't make it count.
Which till this day, the story is that he needed, and he just recently said this in an interview, I think it was last week, that he needed the first 6 months due to a personal issue. He couldn't be there for the first 6 months, that he would have been able to be there for the following 6 months. So from like January to, or whenever, the beginning of the season, he was basically going to miss half the season. So at that point, he thought it wouldn't be right for him to miss half the season and then come in. So he just left. So that's the story, that he left because of that. But I agree with what you're saying. Behind it all, he was fired.
If they won
we know that.
The final of the MLS Cup last year, I think that would not have happened.
Yeah, again, agreed.
Same thing with Jordi. I mean, Amart said, is it possible Jordi changed his mind? Sure, but not likely. Could have, you know, the change of heart, back office, a lot of people are saying that. It's true. It's true that it's something similar to Tata. We'll never know. Honestly, results dictate a lot of things in life, and it's, whether you know the full story or not, it dictates it. But, you know, I will, like I said, this season, I think that some of the decisions made, like, you felt like there could have been better decisions made, and who gets the blame on that? Again, there's a few different people you can name that was better or worse than it set out to be. I mean, bringing in Mascherano, first time coach, one thing, getting rid of your wingers, and then, you know, instead of getting a Angel Di Maria or a Neymar or any winger, let's just say, like, literally any winger, you know, you brought in Allende and you were hoping he was perfect every single night, and he wasn't. Suarez had a big dip compared to last season. So it's like, it was like a perfect storm, right, of things that have happened, and including negligence from the club, no doubt. And so you can say that in the end, it didn't work out. But there was still goods and positives. And if they win the cup this year, I would even go as far to say, and maybe we feel a little differently, if they make it to the final, and let's say they play in LAFC and they lose 1-0, let's just say, or something like that, I would feel better about what had happened than if it's a first or second round exit. You know what I mean? Like, if they make it to the final, and there's certain things in life that are like you can't control. Like, I mean, Messi had experienced it multiple times in World Cup finals and cup competition finals against Chile. Like, there's things where finals are finals, right? There's some things that are out of control. So to me, if he can make it, if the Inter Miami team make it to the final, if they win the final, the narrative completely changes. If they make it to the final, I have a better feeling about how the whole thing went than it did, with a lot of room for improvement. If they don't and they get snuffed out in this playoffs, it raises so many questions about the Inter Miami project to start with.
Yeah, it does.
It's a season. It could be a season of what ifs, especially if we don't win the MLS Cup. But a what if that we're seeing in real time. Benjamin Kramaski, who is, although the U.S. got eliminated yesterday in the semifinal, I believe, or quarterfinal, he played in the U-22 World Cup, was the captain for U.S., and balled out. And so it makes you think, like, well, you had this young, homegrown kid who, in his first season with Messi, got this insane popularity, is 18 years old. I would say, you know, similarly to Noah Allen, where you have, like, you can do anything you want, similar to Ian Frey, like in terms of controlling the contract, the opportunity, whatever, figure out how to use him, because it really bolsters your Inter Miami club. And I would say Messi and most of his teammates really liked Gramotsky, but in the end, it's like they couldn't find a place for him on the field that made sense. And then you see him thriving at the U22 World Cup. It's a very much what could have been, and you can say that about a lot. But here's one. Did you have something you want to say about Gramotsky before I switch topics?
Yeah, I think that Gramotsky made the right decision. I think leaving Inter Miami, he's a player that I think offered a lot more than maybe what he was showing at Inter Miami. We saw that earlier on in his career, he was showing flashes of brilliance. He was more involved in the team. We saw that he connected well with Messi. And then under Mascherano, he just didn't see as much playing time. And when he did, I felt like he was out of position. And yeah. And I think that, you know, this is the, and it's the U20 World Cup, that there, we see him, he was in the golden boot race right now. Yeah. I think he was like up to like 6 goals. He scored 4 goals in one game, which is pretty crazy. And you see that when a player is able to utilize a player in the right position, find the right playing style for him, they can excel. And I think that that's one of the what ifs. Now, granted, it's not the same. You have a guy that's used to playing with Messi, a guy that's used to playing in MLS, playing in a World Cup. While it is a World Cup, the skill level is not at that of MLS, so he's going to far exceed probably a lot of the players that are around him. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, you see those flashes of probably things we may have been able to see here at Inter Miami. So a lot of what ifs, but at the end of the day, it's good for Gramotsky. And I think there are other players that we're starting to see come out of the woodworks and come out of the bench that look like may have bright futures for Inter Miami. You're talking about Baltasar Rodriguez. You talk about guys like Silvetti. Those guys are
Rodriguez like, been immense in the last few matches. Immense.
Yeah, those are guys that we may look back at a couple seasons from now, hopefully still playing with us and just absolutely balling out, and look back to this season. This is the season where they kind of emerged.
Wait so long? I mean, look at Ian Frey. And this is, again, Chelo seems like a very nice guy, and I would say this about any player. It's not you. It's not personal. It's, you know, I'm an Inter Miami fan. I'm a whatever. Chelo is nowhere near the level of right back needed for this team. Ian Frey is. And I know at the beginning of the season, there were, you know, he was still recovering from the injury, and you have to be careful because Ian Frey has gone through so much. But from mid-season, when he started to be healthy, I would say like around June or July, there was at least 2 months where Mascherano was still picking Chelo over him. And when you look back at it, I mean, the defense now with him, Noah Allen, Falcón, and Alba is so much better than it was for all of the season. And it just makes you think. But again, I don't know.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
When the season ends, we're going to have a very large postmortem about, obviously, Javier Mascherano. Positively or negatively, you know, even if we win, I'll say we're still gonna, you know, there's a lot of things he did, and you can chalk it to being first time coach, young, half of the team were your former teammates, a lot of things that make it a difficult scenario. But
look, I've always said about Mascherano, he would have been crazy not to take the job. I don't fault Mascherano in anything, but at the end of the day, I think I mean, he has this team with a possibility to end second in the East. He didn't win Supporters Shield. There are things that he's done wrong, but at the same time, he's kept the team fairly competitive. But look,
made it to a Leagues Cup final, made it to the round of 16, and you know.
And I think I expected more. Not that I expected more from him. I would have wanted more from a coach, but at the end of the day, I think he's got this team in a position to hopefully win. And he would have been crazy not to take the job. They gave it to him. And if there are any issues with coaching, at the end of the day, it shouldn't be with Mascherano. It should be with the higher-ups and those that chose that route. So
here, let me ask you a question, Gian, just really quickly before we get to a couple more topics. And I think this is a good point. Inter Miami played 58 matches this season, which is insane. And, you know, part of the bad performances, 100% due to fatigues. You know, that can be true, and other things be true as well. Here's my question for you, and I know we keep saying a lot of if, but if Mascherano and Inter Miami win the MLS Cup, okay, and then I look at this season and I say to you, well, all the things I already mentioned, which is one, you lose players, you know, the front office takes away players like Julian Gressel and Robert Taylor, Diego Gomez, and my God, I'm blanking on the name of the Paraguayan who's so good for us.
Who are you talking about?
Number 7.
You're talking about Diego Gomez?
No.
Who?
No, I can't remember. He plays for Panama. He's from Panama.
A place for Panama?
Oh, or Paraguay. Yeah. Excuse me. Paraguay. And was he? Rojas. Matias Rojas. Sorry.
Matias
Rojas. Okay. Like, you see all those players leave. Obando, who was brought to be, you know, your side player with, or, you know, hopefully taking minutes from Suarez, was injured for a lot of the season and also coach's choice. And then Fafa Picoult injured so much this season, almost like 70% of the season he was injured. And we've seen even in this cameo he just made this Saturday, he could have been much more impactful. But all of that to say, if I say to you, Javier Mascherano wins the MLS Cup, gets us to the round of 16, beats the European side, makes it farther in the Club World Cup than was probably expected, makes it to a League Cup finals, wins the MLS Cup, finishes second, plus all those things I just mentioned about personnel leaving and, you know, the team he had and injuries, etc. Are you like, overall, that's pretty good for Javier Mascherano, I'm excited to see what he can do next? Or are you saying, it still wasn't good enough, there were too many mistakes, I don't trust it?
Is that if he wins MLS Cup?
If he wins.
Oh, then you didn't have to. You could have just stopped there. You didn't have to say anything else. If he wins MLS Cup, how do you sack a coach that wins MLS Cup? That's crazy. If he wins MLS Cup,
I mean, Tottenham did it. Tottenham did it just now with Postecoglou, after he won the Europa League. But
that's true. That's a good point. Look, I think that if Mascherano wins MLS Cup, all is forgiven, and you give him another shot. Like, it's really,
yeah.
Could you bring in another coach that's better than him and maybe could do more with the team? You probably can, but how do you sell sacking a coach that wins MLS Cup? I think that overall probably is worse for the team. And what type of message does that send to the players that were firing leadership that just won a final for you? And how does that speak to everybody else that thinks about coming to a club, which is, this is how we say thank you, you know? So at the end of the day, I think that for me, he wins MLS Cup, we're good to go. Let's roll on. If he doesn't,
let's see what we do now with Rodrigo De Paul, with another year Suarez.
If he doesn't, there's nothing that you can say to change my mind that he should be sacked.
It's
a bad decision, and that he should be sacked. If he doesn't win MLS Cup,
what if he makes it to the final and they lose 1-0?
That's still a monumental failure of a season.
I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, and I probably do too. I guess I always just, you know me and my personality. I'm trying to be whatever, even though you definitely, I think, know more. Here's something I want to bring up, and this is a great point, and we saw it honestly Saturday. Like, Saturday was beautiful football. We saw, and I mean, the Luis Suarez goal, the volley. He misses sitters, and then he hits a shot like that and gets his 600th career goal. And you're like, oh, right, Luis Suarez, one of the best strikers of our generation. Right, right, right. Yeah, we have him on our team. But then he makes so many other mistakes that you're like, what the hell? And by the way, it looks like he's going to be here next season. It does not look like he was retiring. And I thought he was. I thought he was retiring with Busquets. And then next year was going to be Jordi, DePaul, and Messi. And now it's looking like
it's that's the thing about Suarez, though. That's the thing about Suarez. When he's on, he's on. And he'll score incredible goals, goals that nobody else is scoring in the you know, on your team, and other than probably Messi. So I think for me, Suarez is a tough topic because it's not just on him. He's being asked to play a different role this season than he did last season, where he was scoring more.
Yeah.
This season, they want him more as a playmaker. And they've got other guys that were running into space. They had, whether it was Messi or it was Tadeo Allende on the right or it was Jordi Alba on the left, those are the guys who were tasked with running into space. This season, Suarez is basically another 10 along with Messi or whoever's in that area. And he's, you know, you're playing off of him. He's making the passes. Yeah. And then when he has the opportunity, he'll take the shot and he'll bury it for you. So at the end of the day, if you look at his numbers, like, he's done well. Like, you look on the field and you're like, yeah, he should have done this, he should have done that. And I agree with you, because I'm not going to pretend I haven't been one to yell at my TV at Suarez multiple times a game. But if you look at his production from the assists that he's had and the goals that he's had, I mean, I think anybody in MLS would pay for the production that Suarez has given you. Now, as we move on to another season, no, exactly. But as we move on now to the next season, I'm one of the thought that I'm not saying to get rid of Suarez, but I would like to see it. Intrigues me to see this team with a forward that is different than Suarez, with one that's maybe younger, has fresher legs, is fast and can make runs into space, with a guy like Messi putting in these passes. And I wish I could have said with Busquets next season putting passes and Alba, not anymore. But it'd be interesting to see what the team looks like with that type of player. And then maybe Suarez alternating a game here, a game there, coming off of the bench and playing the last 20, 30 minutes. Also to prolong his career. You have to understand he has leg issues
and knee problems.
So we'll have to see. But nonetheless, I'm not one of the idea that we need to get rid of Suarez. I think he's doing really well.
Yeah. Okay. I think honestly for this season too, if Allende had, let's say, like 30% better finishing, honestly, like then the amount of goals he scores in Inter Miami scores is totally different. I mean, he has had a shocker of a season, I'm sure, to his standard and to what people thought. And even in the last few matches, you've seen him score more and do more of the things that we've expected all season. But you look back at his season, he had some crazy misses. And you're like, what the hell? And it, to your point, it makes everything a lot different. If half of those go in, you know, the team, everything is much different.
Yeah, we know, we've all yelled at Allende and the misses that he's had. Just a one-on-one. There's nobody else to beat. And then you see Jordi Alba have the same opportunities, and he's clinical compared to Tadeo Allende. But I will say this, for as much criticism as we've given Tadeo Allende, he's second to Messi right now in goals for Inter Miami. He has 11 goals. So
is that though a reflection on the rest of the team not having enough attacking prowess?
Well, I don't know, because it's pretty even. I mean, you have Suarez right behind him with 10. You have Segovia with 7. Jordi Alba with 6. Picol with 4.
Nick Smith agrees.
What? People hating on Suarez, but Allende has been horrid. He could be in the golden boot race if he just finished half his chances. It's true. But I think that's what you have to wonder then, thinking of it from a Mascherano perspective. He doesn't have many other options other than Tadeo Allende right now. I know you have Fafa Picol, but Fafa Picol with the small amount of time that he's been given, it's not like he's a clear above Tadeo that you would take him out. And Tadeo keeps doing the right thing. He gets himself in a position to score. And so I think that Mascherano's like, damn, maybe if he just hits that switch and he starts being more clinical, and I don't know, maybe like to what that comment just said, he would probably be in the golden boot race. Like, he's literally missed one goal a game or two goals a game. And it's not, they're clear chances. So if he's still on this team, Let's hope he has an awakening over the summer, over the winter rather. And well, winter here in Miami is like summer. So. But yeah, the off season. And let's hope he has an awakening. And if he's more clinical next season, he may be a monster if he's still here.
Agreed. I agree. We'll see. We'll see. I have one more topic I want to get to, but before I do that, I really quickly wanted to talk about kind of the other side of when you had said about, you know, the failure of the team in the Barcelona Boy eras. And like I said, I agree, especially if this season we go trophyless, that you saw they made a lot of wrong decisions. I think, though, this is a point that, and I'm curious if you hold weight to it, you know, the path of the team with Messi is not bad if you look at it, you know, in hindsight, which basically is saying, you know, we went from being 15th place July 2023. We win in within 2 years, we win the League's Cup with Messi, and then we win the Supporter Shield. And whether or not you want to give it credence or whatever, it's just saying we became the best team in MLS, right? Based on record. We make it to all these tournaments. We're in the Champions League Cup 2 years in a row. We're filling out stadiums. The brand is growing. We're getting all these other players to want to do it. Are those things true? And you're like, oh, no, there was a lot of positives. Or does it, the way that they, in some ends and instances, made the wrong decision or didn't get the result, the trophy outweighs that?
This is, I don't know if I pronounced this right. NSA?
Mm-hmm.
Look, this team was awful before Messi's arrival, before the Barca boys' arrival. It was awful. And I think that if you're thinking of terms of if they're better with as bad as they were, if they're just better, that's a success.
Mm.
I think you're thinking too small. I think that when you had Messi and Suarez and Jordi and Busquets arrive, you were sold a different idea. You were sold, as this team has put it many times, a dream, a freedom to dream. That's something Jorge Mas has said many times to us. They sold us an idea of a cabinet, a glass cabinet full of trophies, full of supporter shields, MLS cups. They made us dream about a CONCACAF Champions Cup. They made us dream about that. And when you bring the best player in the world with some of the best players in their position in a generation, that have played together, that have won Champions Leagues, you expect more. You expect big things. So to me, just being better is not a success. You could have brought in other players and been better without those. You expected more. And because you still haven't reached that, to me, it's a failure until you get an MLS Cup. And that's the last chance we have right now. I think we should have had more.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It turns out he's saying, NSA is saying he's being sarcastic. I said, if you look at it in the reverse, because we're worse now.
Oh.
That is true. But you know what? I still think the overall point, though, a lot of people feel that way. But I think the other things I said are all still true. Like, it's, you know, the decision hasn't been made yet. The season has to finish, in my eyes, like where you see there have been so many positives in the last 2.5 years. But does it outweigh the negatives? And I think we find out when the season is over, right? Okay, last thing I wanted to talk about. Because now we know we don't have Jordi Alba. We don't have Sergio Busquets. We lost a few wingers this year. What jersey number is Neymar going to get? That's what Ash wants to know. And I'm obviously being a little bit facetious here, but I think, you know, we've heard it in the last few weeks. I will say, when again with the Sergio Reguilón, when that came out from Fabrizio and everyone, I was like, this is trash, no chance, Jordi Alba just resigned, and it looks like that has merit. Over the last week, after, you know, when he went to Santos and after the summer like buzz, I didn't hear a word about it. It was completely done. Neymar is not coming to MLS. He's not coming into Miami, etc. The last week, I've seen from multiple sources, and they could all be, you know, it could all be word of mouth and, you know, nothing, that there's now a world where Neymar wants to come to Inter Miami. And so my question to you is, one, Is there any way that could happen? And then two, would you like that to happen? Will you be taking that left wing Jordi Alba spot? And now you're suddenly have a front, you know, a front four players, let's just say that includes three of them, which are Neymar, Suarez, and Messi. Is that what we want? What do you think? MSN coming back.
The recreation of the MSN.
MSN.
Look, if you've watched Neymar play in Brazil, you know he's still got it. You know that he can still absolutely ball. If you've seen Andrew and watched his career, that's the problem. But if you've seen him,
he's so good. Yeah,
he's insane. It's just the entertainment factor, the way he plays with around with players. Man, look, this is what I'll say about Neymar and him coming to Inter Miami. I am 100% open to him coming to Inter Miami. I would love for him to play for this team. I mean, to have Neymar, another player that can pass and do the things that Messi does, or similar to what Messi does, would be incredible. The caveat to that is, as you just mentioned, Ash, he's injury riddled. He can ball out for a couple of games and an opponent can sneeze on him and he'll twist his ankle. He is that fragile. So to me, if you can bring him on a team-friendly deal, on a TAM deal maybe, something like that, you do that. Now, do you spend, if available, a designated player spot on him? No way can you do that. It'd be malpractice for his team to give a DP spot to a player that you don't even know if he's going to play. And that's what I would do. I would say you bring him in, and if he plays, he plays. If he doesn't, he doesn't. He's on a team-friendly deal. That doesn't change, but you can't bank on bringing him in and say that's the player that we're going to spend a DP spot on. We're going all in. We're going to invest in him. That's not something that you do just because of the fact that he's been injury-riddled. But would I love to see Messi playing with Neymar again? God, please. My goodness, I would love that. I honestly would.
Question. How old do you think Neymar is?
How old do I think he is?
I just looked him up. I know what it is. Don't look it up. What do you think just off the top of your head?
If I went based off of his injuries, 65. If I look at him personally, I think he's around 31. He's just look, before you tell me his age, he's been playing for such a long time that you would think he's well past the age of playing. I think in Santos he was like 17, 16 years old playing. I remember him looking like a flamingo with his hair all. It was just, but I think he's around 31, 32 possibly. He's still young.
33. Which I would categorize as still young because Lionel Messi is 38. I mean, we can, you know, jokes or not jokes. Cristiano Ronaldo is 40 and is still, you know, I mean, plays whatever. Neymar is only 33. You would give a player of his caliber, if you're not thinking like about physicality or health, like let's say it's just about the player of his caliber at age 33, you'd say, oh, at least two more seasons. Messi's 38 and we're saying at least two more seasons of him being one of the best in the world. So for someone who's 33, you definitely say that. All of that to say, I don't know if there's a world where Inter Miami get Messi or get Neymar and it's not a DP spot. I just think for the amount of money he's going to cost and what his quote, you know, his technically his age, attrition and availability, technically you would give that a DP spot too. So I don't know.
Who pays that though? Who would like, even if it's not MLS,
that risk?
And no, even if it's not MLS, who's giving?
Even though that's the
thing, yeah. What team is giving a guy that can't stay healthy on the pitch like that? An insane. Even if it's Neymar.
Here's a real question, and this is, you know, this is you know, putting on my tinfoil hat. I don't know if that's an American expression, but me, it means like a conspiracy theorist. Like if I'm becoming a conspiracy theorist.
I thought you were talking about the Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man.
Tinfoil hat just means, yeah, if you like, you're thinking whatever. But my question to you is, like, we saw Neymar for PSG, and I would say when available more times than not, he was great. My question for you is, do you think that now that he's not in Saudi Arabia or in Brazil where there's not game coverage, and now you're playing with Messi and Suarez, and your every single game is globalized and shown to the whole world, and there's hundreds and millions more dollars of sponsorship and market share in America, and you're playing, everyone's watching you. Do you think that at all changes any aspect of Neymar's attrition and ability now that the world is watching and he has a chance to, you know, remind everybody? Because when he was in Saudi Arabia, it was obviously for the money, but he didn't play. And it was, you know, people were talking about Saudi Arabia and X, Y, and Z. In Santos, it's obviously a really emotional, great thing. And the first few matches was viral and everyone was excited. But I personally haven't seen a clip of Santos in 2 or 3 months. So, you know, it's not viral anymore. What you get in Inter Miami, that's different. Do you think that there's any world where that changes anything?
I think that what you just mentioned, I think, has attracted a lot of players to play here in Miami. So I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be something that would attract him.
Once you're here, I mean, to play well once you're here, because you have the whites watching you.
Yeah,
By the way, lights.
Yeah, look, Neymar is somebody that is a guy that's still at this age, despite being injured, is still a guy that people want to do business with, that brands want to work with. And I think anytime
stadiums, yep.
Yeah, and so if he can come to a team like Inter Miami that has global visibility at this point, that's just another avenue for him to draw income, to make money, to continue branding himself. And that's something that he still very much does, even being injured riddled.
What about starting for the World Cup? Do you think that could have an impact?
I think it could. It could help him. I know that he's very cocky, knowing how good he's been throughout his career, where he was asked if he has to prove himself or something along those lines. And he said, I don't have to prove myself for anything. Because that's what it was. It was the Brazilian coach that went out to go see one of the games. And he was asked about the Brazilian coach watching him play to see if maybe he would, you know, like how he felt about that. And he basically said, yeah, he laughed it off and he said, yeah, I don't have to prove myself. I've already proven myself. So I don't know how much that has to do with it, but I know that if you're going to get ready for a World Cup and you want to play for the World Cup, you have to play in a team that's going to give you consistent playing time, that is competitive, that has you in shape. So those are many things that you just mentioned that could definitely be something that would drive him to come over here and play, from, again, branding, visibility, but also from a competitive state to give him the ability to go and play in the World Cup. I'll say this, with Jordi Alba and with Sergio Busquets leaving, you have to realize that now opens up 2 DP spots. One that's going to go to, obviously, De Paul, and then you have an open one.
Yeah.
I think I think it's malpractice. If you give that DP spot to a guy like Neymar, you have to give it to somebody that is going to bring a lot to his team, that is going to be consistent, and you don't have to worry about getting injured. And even giving it to like a Reguilón type of guy, that would be, that would be ridiculous too. So we have a DP spot. Let's see what they're going to use for it. But I would, going back to the original question, Neymar 100% give it to me as long as he's not a DP.
We'll see. I mean, if I name you though, like let's say I find 5 players who could be the DP spot and then Neymar. I only think there's maybe a couple players that you would name that you would say 100% should get the DP spot over Neymar. If you get a Neymar that is, you know, trying to secure his spot as a starter for Brazil and kind of capture his legacy and everything like that. If you put it in that context, I'm just saying, like, yeah, you can name some, but the players that are going to MLS, et cetera, and that jive with Messi, that produce excellence, that produces excitement. I don't know. That list isn't huge. You know, here's what, this is a great one right now. Off right away, if I were to say to you, okay, DP spot can go to one of these 2 players, Antoine Griezmann or Neymar, who do you choose?
Oh, between those 2, yeah. There's no way I'm doing Neymar. I would probably, if it was between those 2, Griezmann, 100%. Just because.
Really?
Yes. He's not injury riddled like Neymar. That's the difference maker between Neymar and anybody else.
Has gotten a lot of injuries in his career.
As much as Neymar, though?
I don't think anyone is as much as Neymar.
You look, anytime Neymar steps onto the field, you are lighting candles and praying that he makes it to the end of the game. That's every game. Every game. Like, so I
need some more in the chat. I mean, we're going to finish up the show, but if we get any in the next minute or 2 in the chat, that you think would be good ones to compare, who it could, they could be a DP, but then it's, would you rather have X or Neymar? I'm just curious about that, because I understand where you're coming from and I agree. But then if we look at it and like we go back to hindsight's 2020 and we say, okay, yeah, they could have gotten this defender, they could have gotten this person, but instead they get Neymar. You know, there are definitely players where you're like, that's bad management, that's wrong decision. But Neymar is still very special. And, you know, like you said, you'd 100% take him on the team. I know we don't want him to take a DP spot, and I'm not saying it's the right decision. But if he does play well and everything like that, and the, you think about the fireworks he's going to bring, so, you know, you may say, well, it's worth it if you get a sick Neymar. Like, not, no pun intended.
I don't question he's going to play well. I question how many games he's going to play, because it's not a matter
how
of
many
if,
of them
it's,
play,
it's
yeah.
when will he get injured? He gets injured no matter where he plays, and it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. So that's the only, I think, hindrance I have when, you know, that's holding me back for a player like that. But if I think about a, instead of an actual player, if I think about a player profile that I want on this team that I would be okay with having as a DP, it's a winger. A guy that's, I want a guy on this team that you give the ball and he's going to go up the left or the right side.
You need a winger.
And you have a one-on-one and he's going to try to take that player, and he will. That's what we don't have anybody right now. It's just, our game is very collaborative, which is good, but we don't have that one guy that can just completely, you know, I mean, that defense is other than Messi, but you don't have that one guy on the wing that's just going to cut in and destroy and take one or two. If you have a player that does that, you're able to take one player and break one line, that opens the game up for everybody else. That's the player profile that I want in the DP spot, if I had to choose one.
I don't
obviously know. Defense is still an area of need, but I want that more than anything is a winger.
I agree with that. All right. Well, so here's my very last thing, and then I'm going to end the show because it's been an hour. Really quickly, if I were to say, though, Neymar takes a DP spot next year, but they get rid of Suarez and they put in instead they put Allende as the main forward, and they bring in a right winger who's not as good, is okay, but brings speed or whatever. And then you have Allende as your main striker with the speed, and then you have Neymar in the DP spot. What would you say to that?
Anything, any sentence that has DP and Neymar in the same sentence is now just...
Even if we got rid of Suarez and you put in, like, or forget Allende, you put in any, like, fast forward, let's say, fast number 9. But in order to do that, it means you give Neymar a DP spot.
Nah, I'm not doing it. No, that. Plus, I don't think that, you know that Suarez is mm-hmm. there's if he wants to play, he's here. There's nobody
this
sending
is a great
him out.
Point. Silvetti next year is going to be a freaking baller. I am excited for him. God, he's really good.
Silvetti's been very good.
If we could have Dennis Pouanga, that'd be great. For
Silvetti
sure.
And Baltasar have been balling, and I really like how they play. I really do. And for me, it's good. We have so. You have Telasco and you have Baltasar that both play on that left side. And I think
I'd rather get rid of Segovia in the offseason if it means we can get a better attacker, like you get a good winger or a really good striker.
But if you can afford it, in all honesty, you keep them both and you don't have to, you just alternate them. It's just, a lot of the thing comparisons that I make are like Barca comparisons because it's the team I watch the most. But you think about guys like they have two starters at every position, and they alternate them and they do amazing. They have sometimes they start De Jong and Pedri, sometimes they start Pedri and Casado, sometimes up front they start Olmo, sometimes they start Fermin. Like these are all starters, and I'm okay with having Telasco one game, and I'm okay with having Baltasar another game, and I'm like, those are the types of things that I'm beyond okay with. I have no problem with something like that. So at the end of the day, if you have two guys like that, you do it. It's a blessing to have a team that you can alternate these guys. It elongates their career. They play better. They're fresher, and it just gives you more opportunities. Imagine you have Baltasar Rodriguez starting, and in minute 70, you take out Baltasar, and then you put in Segovia. Like the luxury to be able to do something like that is just incredible.
And knowing you have DePaul and Messi as your other midfielders.
Yeah. Or even
Yannick Bright or whatever. Like, yeah. No, it's a good point. Okay. This has been a really great show. And look, we're going to see in the next week, obviously, one, Argentina plays tomorrow. We'll see if and how many minutes Messi plays. Inter Miami are back Saturday for their final match in Nashville. Decision day Saturday. Again, they can't 100% control if they get second or not. It depends on FC Cincinnati. But, you know, you'd like to see them, again, continue the form and get the win. And then in a little over 10 days, I think we start the playoffs. And whether it's second or third seed, again, with the way Inter Miami is playing right now, the expectations have gone back up because we're seeing good play from all phases of the ball. And we're seeing an MVP Messi, golden boot winner Messi. You know, hopefully DePaul needs to show that he has that world-class ability. You're getting the very best in the very end of Busquets and Alba. If you get Suarez in good form, you know, this team has every chance. So again, thank you to everyone for participating. Any last thoughts from you, Gian, before we wrap it up? This has been a really great show.
No, just that Inter Miami, you got to just, it's just watching next game. Just keep winning, keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully just build off of the momentum again against Atlanta United. 4-0 was really good for them. And hopefully Messi, if he plays, does well, doesn't get injured. That's all you want is have him ready and tip-top shape for the MLS Cup. And then if you're watching Cincinnati and Inter Miami's last game, all you really want is Inter to win and Cincinnati the tire loose, and yep, then Inter can lock in that second place in the East. But this has been fun. It's been awesome. I've enjoyed it, and I really appreciate everybody coming on.
This is we'll just say this, Nick, because you're right. We didn't get into the goalie talk. We'll save it for next episode if we want to give into more detail. But I will say, we said Mascherano, if he wins, we look at the season as a win. I'll tell you this: in the last few weeks, the fact that he's been putting in, he's kept Ian Frey in the starting lineup. He made a big switch from Ustari to Rios Novo. And Baltasar Rodriguez, for example, you're seeing those players cement themselves in the starting lineup, and it's producing at a high level. If we see that, including Rocco, then good decisions all around, and it makes me feel much better about this team and the future. So Rios Novo has been great in his playing opportunities. I'm glad, you know, making the switch this late takes some guts as a coach, even if you could say, oh, I wanted it earlier, but the fact of the matter is they signed Ustari for this reason, and you know his form hasn't been good enough. They made a switch in a difficult time, and that's a courageous coaching move to make. So hopefully it continues to show itself. But anyways, all right, thank you everyone for watching this episode of Messi and Co. I'm Ashley, that is Gian. Thank you so much for participating and watching. Make sure you're following us on X at Messi and Co, YouTube, Five Reasons Football. Can't wait for this season to reach its boiling point, hopefully with an Inter Miami trophy. Thank you for watching and have a good week.